Hey everybody, thank you very much for listening to The Fate of Ison. I'm DM Brad, and this is episode 6 of our Arcus backstory arc, in which we dive into the world of Skyland to see what Arcus the Cloud Demon was up to before they got whisked away into the material realm that we all know as Ison. This backstory features Jules Daniel in their usual role as Arcus, and amazing special guests Troy Malcolm from Season Quest Podcast as Zeph, and George Fenn as Fergus Squalor. If you've listened to the other Arcus episodes, you will know by now that we are not playing D&D in this campaign. We are playing D12 Go. If you want to learn more about that game system or give it a whirl, play it for yourself, get in touch and we can send you some playtest rules. If you want to get yourself a sweet D12 to play the game with, head on over to our partners metallicdicegames.com and use the promo code FateOfIson to get a sweet discount. Alrighty, what happened last time? Well, here's a quick recap for you. Last time, Arcus, Zeph, and Fergus watched as a grotesque, lumpy orange man from the breach dragged a cumulus woman through the bazaar. They followed it to a courtyard where there was a large purple portal hovering in the air. They fought the orange man, defeating him before he could take the woman through to whatever lay on the other side. The woman says,
"Oh, thank you so much. Thank you so much. I don't know why it was taking me. It told me all these lies, told me to come out of my house and that it was safe and it was sent by the palace. But then I saw its face and I knew it wasn't true. What is this thing?" And it gestures to the portal.
"I bet it leads to a condensation camp."
And that's the Fergus, since you've recently had experience popping your head through the portal and you're probably the closest to it, can you make a senses roll and add anything about anything that might help with, like, just a general feeling or a vibe of,
like, dark magic?
Cool. Yeah.
13.
Okay, you notice that coming from the portal there is a very sudden, very violent drop in temperature.
I jump and yell, "Avalanche, get down, everyone."
Do you believe your friend's words?
I am already down. I am beneath a cloud house.
Oh, God, yeah, okay.
Oh, okay. The cloud house dissipates. begins to dissipate.
I remain down because Fergus says to.
So it's a cold energy. It doesn't feel like weather magic.
It just feels like very cold air. Like something extremely cold is happening right on the other side of that portal.
Could we just, like, attack the portal? Can I just, like, blast it with something?
Yeah, totally. I might just try to turn it off. Might be safer than blasting it.
Just off, flick the switch. Just.
Well, I've got a wand, right? So can I just, like, stick my, like, wand in the hole and just turn?
Stick your wand in the hole and turn.
Look, I'm saying, or we could blow it up. I'm happy with either one, but...
Oh, it was plugged in. We could have just unplugged it.
It turns out the only reason there's a breach is because someone didn't bother trying to turn it off and on again.
All these generations, all we had to do was reboot it.
Fuck, that's always the first thing.
Can I try to turn it off, and if I can't turn it off, can you blast it?
I didn't consider this. You can certainly pump some dark magic into it and try and turn off the portal. You can roll against the success table with a -6, because this is extremely unlikely that you would be able to do this.
Yeah?
Yeah. The scale of difficulty with this game if something's a bit harder than normal, it's a -3. If something's really hard, it's a -6. If something's impossible, it's a -9 or more.
Can I aid George with a new friendship with some bond?
You can make a quick bond roll just to see if you're able to encourage him.
Or could you? Because it's your bond, right? Yeah.
7.
Okay, failure. You can't encourage him. No health.
I'm like, yeah, you can do it, Fergus.
Maybe.
Unconvincingly.
I got a natural 11 with +7 plus my wand, so I got +8 total, 19.
Okay, minus 6, 13. Despite a fucking minus 6, you get a success and you pump some dark magic into this portal, and it hurts. If you feel mad energy like funneling through you harder than it ever has before. Like, this portal is taking a lot out of you, but slowly but surely it begins to seal more and more shut, and then it's gone.
Just goes to show that it takes more energy to turn something off than it does to turn it on with your wand.
And Fergus, you feel really drained. Like, that was the hardest you've ever had to work for anything.
Yeah, do I have to take, should I take limit damage or something?
No, but I'll say that for the foreseeable future, until you overcome it, yeah. Just take a minus 3 to brawn.
Cool. Like,
you're just physically weak.
Right, cool. I like clapped down on the ground, naked, smoldering. But it's like, not from heat, just from like dark shadow. I'm sort of like sweating, but like dark magic clouds. So like dissipating off me, like.
Look at that sexy smolder on his face.
I'm not going to lie. I really thought that the Trump creature would successfully drag Wisp away and that you would follow it into the breach portal.
best laid plans, Brad.
But you know what? I've got like 9 locations that you guys could go in your own world, so you don't need to go anywhere.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've played Oblivion, so, you know, a bit of metagame knowledge. Just turn it off.
I guess we should talk to this Wisp some more.
Yeah, she's still there in your midst. So, like, you say, we should talk to Wisp. She's like, I'm here. she's like, yeah, I mean, I don't really know what more there is to say other than thank you. Who are you? Why are you out in the breach? I was tricked out of my home. Why are you out here?
We're obviously heroes of the breach, here to aid and help. Those are different things. And we saved you as proof of that fact. You're welcome.
If there's any way I can repay you, I mean, I don't have much in the way of possessions, but I mean, would you like to come back to my place? I can try and make you some food or give you a place to rest.
Yes. I turn to the others and I'm like, this is where we can hide from our families.
Your hide? Wait, okay. Who are your families? Why are you hiding from your families?
Look, we just saved your life. You could afford us the, like, privacy of our own issues. Thank you very much.
Okay. Yep. Heroes get a bit of secrecy, I suppose.
Yeah. It's okay. We'll open up to you when we're ready. And when it's plot relevant.
Okay.
Plus one improvement.
Yeah, she like sort of gets to her feet slowly and dusts herself off, and she looks at the still stuck in the ground corpse of the orange lumpy thing, and she gives it a little kick, and its yellow quaff of hair falls off its head.
Oh man. Hey, Zeph, did your family ever deal with one of these things during the breaches?
I don't think they did. Can I roll animal knowledge?
I'd say it's not an animal. It spoke. It's sentient.
I don't think so. It doesn't. You know, lyrics are hard, and orange doesn't rhyme with anything. So if they did get injured by one of these, I don't think they sung about it.
Just rhyme it with thing. Ugly orange thing.
Yeah, no, I think we're safe. Rat centaurs, disc chaos, and 3 other things, but not this, I don't think.
Maybe a tangerine.
What rhymes with tangerine? What would you?
Tambourine.
So relevant. We all fought. No, wait.
Let's follow Wisp.
Yeah, she sort of like steps a few feet away from you guys and is like, well, I mean, if you want to come back to my place, I'd rather get off the streets sooner rather than later.
That's valid. All right, let's go, team. Squad.
Fergus says I could go for a cup of tea.
She's just like, I do make the best tea in all of Castle Cloud.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Under my breath. You know, Northern and stagger like ahead, even though I don't know where I'm going.
She leads you back through the bazaar, so through the south entrance, the busted up south entrance, and then past the part that you ransacked in the north, and then out the northern gate to a sort of like a high density housing area. And like the building that she goes to has got quite a bit of damage to it. You know, something big has like barreled past a corner and like knocked heaps of elementus bricks off the corner of the building and things. But she, goes up to a door that just looks like any of the other doors in the area, and opens it up and says that, this is where I call home. Come inside and make yourselves at home.
We do.
We do. Yeah. I sort of like don't responsibly find a place to like collapse face down on the ground.
I find her bed and I hop into it. And I'm like, this is my bed for tonight. Thank you. Good night.
Isn't it like 1 o'clock though?
Yeah, it's like the mid afternoon.
I'm tired. I need my afternoon nap.
Okay.
I stand guard outside the bedroom door so that Arcus doesn't get disturbed.
Troy, you took 4 damage in that. From Arcus. Would you? Given a significant rest, would you want to do the self heal, the once per in game day?
Now, when you say once per day, is that like? I don't know how long a day lasts here, but is that kind of like a once every 24 hours or once
day. So like in between long rests, in between like overnights.
I guess that depends if we're going to go breaching throughout the entire night. Okay. I will try and heal myself.
Okay.
I say, oh yeah. Sorry, I don't say anything. I do like the idea of resting though. I do like the idea of resting before we go back out because, -3 brawn. I don't want to encounter any basic obstacle.
Yeah, fair enough. So if you rest long enough, your game changer goes away. So that -3 to your brawn, you recover enough strength to no longer be exhausted from your magical exertion.
Mm-hmm.
Troy, if you just roll a brawn roll.
Yeah, I rolled a 12, like a natural 12. I couldn't roll anything above a 2 earlier, but sure, now I get the 12 for healing 4 damage.
Plus,
there is balance in all things.
Plus your brawn?
Oh, yeah, you're right. So 16.
16, yeah. So that's the best you can do. You can get, you get 4 back.
Cool.
Hey, that's still helpful.
It is.
How is
it
the
is.
Tea?
Yeah, she comes back. I'll get her to roll for it. She doesn't have any stats. I haven't statted her. But she still gets a 10 on the die. So she makes questionable success. She makes pretty good tea. It's enjoyable. It's not great. But she by the time she gets, like, she gives one to Fergus first and then stands there waiting for you to test it.
I drink it, and Fergus is... brought to tears softly with humility, you know,
like how the other half live shit tea.
No Fergus likes the tea. Fergus can appreciate sort of the genuine effort and into it, and sees that it's not where the tea is from that's important, but for why it is made.
I feel a redemption arc for Fergus's character, his moral colors. And then she gets to Zeph, and then by the time she gets all, does the same thing, and by the time she gets to Arcus is asleep. So,
yeah.
Arcus doesn't get the tea.
I don't need chamomile. I'm already knocked the fuck out.
While you're resting, so only Zeph and Fergus would hear, you do hear just random sound throughout the city of, like, a distant roaring, and, like, you hear what sounds maybe like a group of breach hunters running past at one point. Like, you hear like heavy boots and sort of like grunting of people who are running and things like that. Just the sound of just action happening nearby and in the sort of middle distance.
Fergus, How come this is your first breach? Like, did you ever consider going out with your, I believe you called them, Daddy Stab Men?
No, Daddy Stab Men, more to, out and doing the breach to protect my family's interests. Such work would be beneath me.
Oh, okay. Well, good.
Do you ever considered not going out to breach like the rest of your family? Have you ever considered staying humble, as one might expect from someone of such tragic birth? I have true compassion for you and your poverty.
Well, I mean, it's been in my family for years, you know, the idea that we must go out and protect the people in the land. Mm. I feel like it's my turn, mm-hmm. it's my time. My mum's protected, she's at the edge. Mm-hmm. I haven't gone before because, you know, I'm still a young Cumulus, but Arcus needs protection, and I'll be that protection until such time that we're either one of us dies or the breaches are over, I guess.
It's interesting you should bring that up. You know, it's interesting, you know, from my perspective and the way I was raised, you know, the breaches were something that my family actively encouraged in the rural cloud communities. You know, it just really keeps the protection costs down, not having to hire as many people if you convince the people to fight for them.
Yeah, going into the breaches kept funeral costs down for my family too. Like, you know, we didn't have to pay the, you know, the evaporium or anything.
You wouldn't believe the overheads on the evaporium. My family also runs that. It's like, it actually costs very little to vaporize someone. And, you know, evaporating isn't exactly, you know, it's not exactly what you think, like, what it's told. You can actually, everyone can actually just, there's actually just a big hole that people go and throw. The people have just been throwing cloud people in.
Okay, well, I'll keep that in mind. Should Mummy Bluster or I ever need,
you know,
that?
I actually think it makes your stories, your family stories, more convincing, because, you know, it's almost, they almost have more meaning because, you know, they died for nothing.
Thanks, Fergus. And I walk away. I walk into the room where Arcus is, and I lay down face down on top of Arcus and go to sleep.
I, like, push you in my sleep down to the end of the bed like a dog.
Fergus is not aware of his emotional impact on others. He was like, that must have been a good conversation if he needed to lie down.
Wisp was on just sort of like the outskirts of the room listening to that conversation, and now has a vague idea of who you are. And it's just standing like mouth agape, like,
I turn to Wisp and ask if they have a book.
I think we have a book somewhere. We don't really get a lot of time for reading, but
bring me the book.
She disappears, and then you hear her like moving about from room to room, and then she comes back with a piddly little book.
And it's written in ink, I assume, yeah?
The cloudy equivalent of ink. I don't know.
Yeah, no, that's cool. It's written there. I take the book. What's the title of the book?
The Adventures of Cumulus Kim.
I sign and say Propaganda for the Masses. And I'm going to try to, like pick up all the ink with my dark magic and suck the ink out into like a shadow ball of like shadow ink. So I pull all the ink out, so it's like a blank page, and then with the ball of ink I'm gonna like shadow project it all around the room, and I'm gonna try to articulate the magical equation of the portal that I just managed to channel in terms of
you're gonna beautiful mind her house.
Yeah, I'm gonna beautiful mind her house with
Goodwill Hunting
with shadow magic, just so I have like a record of that experience, and I'm gonna document it in the book if I could do
that. Do some dark magic for me then. That's definitely brains.
Mm-hmm.
You're a weird dude, man. I love it.
Yeah, I guess Karen, or George. No.
Yeah.
I got a 16.
Your rolls are crazy. That is a huge success. You do exactly what you set out to do. You managed to pull the ink out of her book, and she says, "That's my only book." But then this sort of like this floating orb of Elementus ink rests above your hand for a second before you sort of spray it out to the room, and it just creates equations and measurements and various symbols all around the room. And she's too amazed to be angry. She's just looking and spinning around in place at like all these new things in her midst.
Cool. And then I suck them all back into like the book as like the equations are. So now I have it all documented in one book.
Yeah. Again, she's just mouth agape. She does not know what she just saw.
Fergus looks at him and says, "Sorry, this might have meant something to you. I'm sorry, I'll get you another one."
My mother read that to me every day when I was a child.
I can't bring her back, but I might be able to get you another book.
If she read it to you every day, then surely you know it off by heart by now anyway.
You're asleep.
I'm talking in my sleep about what's going on, even though I have no way of knowing what's happening.
Mumbling snarky comments in your sleep.
Turn to Wisp and I say, you may have heard this story over and over, but I'm here to tell you the stories don't have to be the same every time, and that sometimes stories can change. Can I like try to rummage around the neighborhood for like another book to return to her?
I mean you can go out into the street and try and get into another house, and you would know that, you know, areas like this typically get evacuated during the breaching if people have somewhere that
valuable.
If people have somewhere to go, they would go. It's not safe here, but like there will still be some inhabited places, like, for example, her place has her in it.
Cool. You know what? It's fine. I'll get them a book later. I'm, a billionaire playboy to be. You know, I'll get them a book. It'll be fine.
I'll get you a new book. A book with more stories.
I pass the time discussing tea with them until everyone is arrested.
And yeah, throughout that time, you do hear more signs of screams and roars and various things that just tell you that there's a lot of shit happening. You're not the only game in town. Fergus, you look out a window at one, just sort of like lazily lean and look out the window to the street, and you see what looks almost like a unicorn made of rock, like charging down the street, and then it's gone as almost as quick as it arrived. It just, it's gone.
Do I recognize it as being from the same place as where the portal was to?
It came and went too quickly. You just see it and know that that's weird.
Yeah, nice. Cool.
Well, I suppose we're awake.
Mm-hmm. Are you?
Time is over.
Yeah.
What's the plan? What are we doing?
So now I suppose you'd probably, try and come up with a plan for what to do next, whether you go home to your families and call it quits, whether you try and investigate, try and find out more information, or just go around town to different locations looking for more shit to fight.
How much longer do we think the breach is?
It's hard to say on any given year. It can last anywhere between 2 days and about a week. So like this is only day two. So this it could end today. It could end in a few days from now. There's no way of knowing. It's like monsoon season. It sort of comes and goes in a wave.
Right.
What if we closed all the portals?
That could be. You could go around closing portals and then teaching people how to do that. So next time a breach, next time the breaching comes around next year, you can just be like, "Not this year, breach." Bloop.
Wisp, why didn't you leave? Why are you here in your house?
I didn't really have anywhere to go. I locked the door here. I didn't think anything could get me in here, and I mean, so far nothing has, but that thing convinced me to go out. As long as I don't fall for that again, I should be okay, I think.
Well, if you need somewhere to go, my mother is at the edge. I got her a place there to hide out, and I mean, if you would be willing, I do have something with me that I need taken to the edge. Two things, actually. If you are wanting a safe place to go, would you be willing to take something for me?
Well, I mean, the edge, that's so expensive at breaching time that you must have a lot of raindrops.
Yep, I've got a lot of them. I saved up, but my mum's there, and there's room for two, just in case and I look over at Arcus, failed at what I was wanting to do. But there's room for two, so if you wanted to, you could go there.
I'm oblivious to what that means and just think that, like, Zeph... if Zeph dies, he expected me to go live with his mom.
Silly Zeph.
That's so generous of you. Do you think I could safely make it all the way to the edge? That's at least an hour or two outside.
Outside, maybe. But it would be 2 hours by the sewers. But I would imagine there would be much less grease monsters down there.
The sewers? Oh, that's scary. Can the breaches go down there? I wonder if the game master knows what the breaches can do. I wonder if the game master has a plan for people getting trapped in sewers.
The game master's going to have to ask the breach master and they'll have to discuss it off podcast, I guess. I have a rat box and a chunky necklace I want taken to my mother.
Rat box, that's right. We need to take the rat box off the end. I suppose we could, like...
Is that youth slang?
Yeah, it's youth slang. Chunky necklace, rat box.
Why don't we escort Wisp to the edge and fulfill our destiny of throwing the rat box over the edge?
Sounds good.
Yeah, okay.
We can meet Zeph's mum.
Okay, so since you're all going, you don't need to roll to convince her to go. She trusts that you're all capable of traveling that distance. And yeah, it'll be about 1.5 to 2 hours to trudge through the city safely, so to not just confidently traipse out in the open. You know, you sort of got to at least try and keep a low profile.
Is there some sort of stealth role? Like, is that I guess it's precision or brains.
It depends,
I guess,
on the situation,
right?
Like how you're trying to be stealthy, but a lot of it would be agility.
Can I put forward Shadow Cloak and casting a Shadow Cloak over everyone to make us sneak in the shadow? So, like, not entering into the shadow world, but projecting, like, a shadow over us.
Yep. So would you do that before you leave the house or just in a shadowy place on the way?
I like to imagine that I've got my wand up like an umbrella.
Okay.
And it's, like, sort of casting, like, a dome of, like, shadow over us.
Roll for it. One of your massive rolls again.
Yeah, I got massive rolls again. I got 20.
Fucking hell, dude. I need to update this table to allow for people. huge success. You do exactly what you wanted to do. You create a shadowy umbrella that encompasses all of you, so you can move through the city and a lot easier. I've still got a few creatures that are randomly roaming, and I will roll for them at checkpoints for them to molest your position.
Cool.
Okay, Zeph, which direction do you think the place that you got your mum on the edge would be? So, the kingdom's roughly a circle, and you're kind of in the middle right now. To give you a sort of a general rundown, is on the both on the corners, so the northeast, northwest, southeast, southwest, there's a port, which leads to the transport to other kingdoms, which we'll get to if you ever need to visit another kingdom, like the neighboring kingdom of Hazy Haven that you invented.
Yeah.
A lot of the western side of the kingdom is taken up by a forest. But other than that, most of the perimeter of the kingdom is just rural land.
I assume because my farm was outside of the breach, like central zone. So I imagine whichever direction is... She wouldn't have had to go through the city centre, so just away in that direction. And I assume it's near the port to Hazy Haven, whether that's...
Okay, so we'll say southeast. We'll say your mum is on the southeast edge.
Yeah, she's on the southeast edge.
Okay, so at 3 points between where you are now at Wisp's house and this southeast edge, we are going to roll to see if you have a random encounter as you go through the city. So you go back through the bazaar the way you just came, keeping under your shadowy umbrella, and you get to that courtyard where you just fought the orange thing, and it's still there, trapped in the ground.
Is it, like, naked? Like, does it have clothes or, like... Can we loot it? Is there anything worth looting?
It has a red, white, and blue gown on. But it's tattered and full of holes.
I considered taking it earlier, but I was biding my time, and I think we should just leave it. Unless you want it, Fergus, to cover your naked body.
That's pretty good. Pretty good. No, not yet.
Not yet.
No, yeah. Well, now that I've made a big deal about losing my clothes, I have to make an even bigger deal about finding it.
Yeah, you can't put on clothes that aren't suited for you.
Especially like in a fictional landscape where it's not like socially reprehensible. It's just slightly unusual, you know? Like, I gotta capitalize.
Especially.
Yeah.
That in real life, but also especially right now.
Yeah.
Okay, just beyond this courtyard and heading in a general southeast kind of direction, you go through quite a nice residential area, and you can ascertain that people in this area probably can afford to not be here. So, like, you imagine most houses in this place will be empty right now. Can one of you please roll a d12?
I rolled a 7?
7, okay. While walking down the street of this affluent area, you all feel like a mild rumbling on the ground beneath your feet for just a second, and then the road, the Elementus Road, sort of bursts open and a worm shoots up out of the ground, and it's just like a regular earthworm, but it's like the size of an anaconda.
Mm.
And so it sort of curls up and into a coil right in front of you, and then it lunges at Fergus.
Cool, I defend.
My description of this is mega worm, brackets, just a huge fucking worm.
Right. That's what I'm working with. So I'm using agility and dueling. 12.
Okay, it also got a 12 to try and coil and squeeze, which is a stalemate. So it's just going to wrap itself around you, but ineffectively.
I whip out Blunt and Blade, and I try to run and slice and slash at the giant worm.
Sneaking in there as well, could I like try to shadow disappear before you like attack? So I'm not like in the middle of the worm when you're swinging in.
Okay, yeah, I imagine that Fergus would start trying to do that as soon as the worm wrapped around him anyway.
Mm.
So yeah, I'd say you get to try and do that as Zeph prepares for his attack. So roll some kind of defense or escape, Fergus. So agility plus dark magic, I imagine.
I think I was 17.
Okay, yeah, you easily manage to just sort of pop out from it.
Does the worm like sort of like go like whoop and drop a little bit?
It squeezes itself. So now it's just like a upright slinky for a second as Zeph charges in with two axes.
Rolled a 4. Dual wielding's also a 4, so 8. And my brawn's a 4, so 12.
Okay, it only got a 9 on its defense. So that is 1 to 3 more. You give it 1 damage, which this is just a big worm, so that's enough to kill it.
Nice.
Oh, I slash and hack it into little noodle pieces.
Yum. Food for later.
Did it leave a big hole in the ground?
Not big, just like the width of itself.
Are those normal down in the sewers, Fergus?
Are they? Do I know?
Roll a brains check.
Yeah, I got a 12.
Yeah, you know that they're not normal, but they're also, they are from here. Like,
they're on the cloud realm.
Yeah, they're not breached things, they're just weird.
The wildlife is acting unusual. These worms belong in the deep, deep soil. I mean, the deep, deep cloud.
The soil of the cloud.
They're essential for the process of making healthy, you know, new livable cloud, though. They break up all the watery bits and turn them into cloudy bits. Look, and I poke it, and, like, little bits of cloud come up the back of it, like it was, you know, secreting through the process of soil.
Yeah, so you might pause to think that, like, why is it coming up to the surface? Like, they don't normally do that. You might store that in the back of your mind. Like, okay, maybe that something weird is happening.
Yeah, right. So it's very much a worm out of soil idea. We should make haste to the edge. Who knows what more of the cloud's creatures have turned feral.
All right, so you continue through past this neighborhood, and you start getting to like a slightly less affluent neighborhood, and then like a commercially industrial sort of area a little bit, and in amongst some factories. Someone else roll a d12. This is checkpoint number 2.
I roll 3.
Ooh, okay. Rolling out of the door of a factory is just like a ball of fluff, just this like blackish gray ball about the size of a basketball, just sort of rolls out in front of you and then just rests in front of your feet.
A ball of fluff.
Yep.
Kit.
Like a ball of like cloud fluff?
It doesn't look cloudy.
It doesn't look cloudy. Okay. Does anyone else have any ideas? Do you want to kick it, Zeph?
I mean, I do, but I don't know if that's the best thing to do.
Well, we're kind of doing breach, and it kind of looks like a breach monster.
I don't know why I said that. I'm dense. Yeah, I've got no brains. I kick it.
Okay, just make a brawn attack to kick the fluff ball.
That's 6 plus 4 is 10.
It only got a 3 to try and roll away. So yeah, you just obliterate it with your boot. As your foot like connects with it, it's sort of a section of the fluff opens up and you see like a really big mouth full of sharp teeth. But then it just gets booted and it just flies away and just does not move after that.
So it lands?
It lands like 20 or 30 feet away from you, like it's a big kick, and then it just boom, heavy on the ground.
Fergus is in awe, admiring, and says, "Wow, it is truly amazing, the noble strength of the proletariat."
Fergus called me noble. Should we go check out what that thing was? Or should we just keep going?
Arcus, make a senses roll.
Fuck. One.
Total.
Yeah, I have 0 senses and I rolled a 1.
Okay. Yeah, miserable failure.
Thank you.
You are just staring at this guy. You're just... You don't even notice that any of that happened.
Yeah.
Fergus is like, we're getting good at this hero business. All right, let's move along, guys.
As you keep moving, you go to walk past the fluff ball and... One like a very small version of that portal next to the orange thing appears under the fluff ball and it sort of drops through and then the portal closes.
That one cleaned up after itself.
Maybe the other one would have, if, you know, Fergus hadn't closed the portal, who knows?
But we still have the centaur.
That's true.
So they didn't drop through.
Then I have nothing to add. Let's keep going.
Right, we keep walking.
Okay, cool. And you continue past the factories and you get into rural land. And Zeph, you can see up ahead in the distance the edge and the house near the edge where your mum is staying. And this is checkpoint number 3, is just before you reach that house. So one more person roll a d12.
I got an 8.
Oh, okay. In between you and the house that you're going towards... A large portal appears, blocking the way.
Shall we roll senses to... Or, like, can we just see what colour and stuff it is? Or do
it's
we
just
roll?
A big purple circle in the air.
Yeah, I'm just going to straight turn it off. I'm just going to reach in and try to turn it off immediately.
Okay, you can do that with a minus 6.
Does it become slightly easy now since I've, you know... I Raymaned the equation out?
No, because it's still a difficult thing to do. It's not something that you should be able to do.
I would like to attempt to bond help again.
Okay,
not
so
that
roll,
I helped
roll bond
last
first.
Time.
Roll bond first, yeah. To encourage him somehow.
Oh, yes. Okay, I got... That's 14.
Yeah, success. You.
I rolled a nat 12.
Yep, you can get him a plus 2.
There you go. Friendship. With the power of friendship, anything is possible, kids. And that's the real point of this podcast. That's the message.
It rolled off the table, but it did roll onto a 9 plus 10, 19.
So 19 minus 6, 13. It's still a success. You put your wand into the middle of this portal, and you hear like a buzzing sound, but the portal closes.
Like I collapse back onto the ground, I guess, in exhaustion. Like dark magic.
I like that Brad's like, "Hey guys, here's some combat." Doing too much dumb, stupid roleplay. Here's some combat. Here's an opportunity for an encounter, and we're just like.
Okay, so that portal, it seals up and then disappears, and you now have an unimpeded trip to the house on the edge. And this whole time, Wisp has just been sort of trailing along with you.
Yeah, she's not very good company, honestly. She doesn't say
I thought we were going to be entertained by the peasants.
I just kicked her. Oh, you didn't
I
see
do
it.
Find that as well. I mean, Zip has their moments, but overall, you know, I've yet to see a sort of resounding quorum of worse from the lower classes.
No, see, he's more useful in situations than he is entertaining. What we really need is some kind of entertainment.
You know, I originally thought of the poor as, you know, useless at everything, but with his strength being a number, but it actually seems that it's actually the variety of niche special interests amongst them.
Well, you know, it's actually my goal at some point to meet a bard. I've never met one before, so that would be interesting.
I've never heard of such a thing.
Okay, so I guess we're going to have to leave it there.
Wait, Brad, before we end, can we get Zeph to try and yeet the rat box off the edge?
Oh yeah, we're definitely gonna end on that narrative note, like tying up that.
Great.
So we've got a few loose ends to tie up. One is delivering the necklace. Two is getting yeah, Wisp yeah. to this safe location, which is right in front of you. And three is getting rid of the rat box from the first night.
Yeah.
As concludes every good story, just getting rid of the rat box.
Yeah. So, do you think that you would go to the cottage first, or would you go straight to the very edge?
Oh, we would go straight to the very edge and look out over.
Okay.
It.
Have any of you ever been to the edge before?
I have on family vacations, but with royal guard and under great protection. Mm. Like there was no danger.
I imagine I've been there once, and that was to escort my mother there.
Okay. Fergus has been there, and he thinks back to trips with his family to see the great cloud factories they have built on the side of the edge that churn out more cloud. He remembers back to sort of taking a view of the family factory.
Every year the edge gets further and further out, and so people who are like on prime edgefront property get really fucked off. They're like, I'm not on the edge anymore.
Yeah, it's completely, you know, they're sort of very much in charge of the real estate economy.
Okay, so yeah, Troy, you go right to the edge and you are holding this box with the rat centaur in it. Do you have any words to say before you deliver it to its final resting place?
Unfortunately, I do. The rat centaur killed Uncle Nimbus during the breaches. They stabbed him in the ankles really hard. During the breaches. And then I yeet the rat box over the edge.
I won't get you to make a brawn roll because your brawn is ridiculous. Yeah, you just yeet the whole box or just all the rat?
Okay, oh no, the whole box. I don't want to keep the box.
The box and the rat just fly out and then fall and then they just disappear from sight. Towards the blue dot at the very edge of your vision, down as far below as you can go.
It's the water cycle, and it fuels us all.
Fergus thinks back to the rat and his plan to prank the coach, and thinks back to that moment of revenge and anger, and now sees there's so much more to the world. And as the tiny rat box disappears, so does his jilted, irrational grudges towards his former physical education provider.
Educators.
I'd like to think that Wisp is standing next to us and has just watched, you know, me sing this song and then read a like shoebox over the edge of the world.
Yeah, she leans over to Fergus and says, "What was in that box?"
I just whisper down and just dark magic.
And that's the end.
Hooray!
And that's the end of the episode.
Wait, so Fergus apparently has the power to close the breaches? That's news to me. Okay, I'm sure that's going to lead to something. Right? I don't know. And what's up with the giant worms coming above ground? Something is definitely going on here, and we might just have to wait to find out next time. As everybody knows by now, we cannot make this show without the love and support from you, the lovely listeners, and our amazing supporters over at Patreon. They are Alex White Robinson, Person Who Wants to Stay Anonymous, Robert Baldino from Not Quite Heroes Podcast, Irene Cucci, Laura Christine Goodwin, and James Blysett from Wheel of Woe Podcast, Sajah Hodgkins, Laura Douglas, Mel Ziegler, Roger Afamata, Sam Malcolm from Table Tales, Kydron Faust, Lauren Flake, Kai Dealer, Rihanna Kavalsik, Kevin Swift from The Dice Cult, Ben Edwards, Victorian Gavin Porter, Daniel Nichols from The Happy Go Lucky Podcast, KP Squished, Alexandra Litkais, Andrew Evans, and Emily Holman from The Grow Out of a Podcast. Thank you all so much. We appreciate each and every one of you. If you want to join that list of names yourself, try and make it as hard as possible for me to say, make sure you check out the reward tiers over at patreon.com/fateofisen. We also appreciate nice reviews on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Podchaser, wherever you want to leave one. Just tell people that we're pretty good and that's a good time. That got weird. But you know what? The sentiment was there. The words failed, but the sentiment prevailed. Is that a saying? I don't know. It is now. Alrighty, check out our socials at FateOfIsen on all the major ones, or FateOfIsen@gmail.com if you just want to drop us an email. Or come and chat to us on the Necropodicon Network Discord server. There's a link to that on our website, FateOfIsen.com, as well as a whole bunch of other stuff. Player bios, fan arts, you name it. Alrighty. Catch you next time, everyone. Thanks again for listening.
Found this Theron Black box. I thought you might want to take a look at it.
She hands over a clear rectangle sheet of black glass with smooth edges.
Oh, wow. This is really cool.
Where did you get that? You shouldn't have that.
I found it on a Theron ship that crashed.
Maybe I could take it to a friend?
I would use the word friend lightly.
Misha walks over to a small filing cabinet that's next to his bed, and he takes a key from around his neck. He unlocks the cabinet, and he pulls out two black cases, which are both marked with Theron symbols.
As you place it down, it instantly lights up.
You know what this means, right?
This could be the chance we've been looking for.
That doesn't sound good.
Sons of the Fathers is a sci-fi horror podcast using the 7th edition Call of Cthulhu role-playing system. It is a Necropodicon original, and our first episode premieres on the 1st of March, 2020. We advise that the show isn't for children, but is great for those who revel in hapless protagonists facing ever-increasing bad odds. Sons of the Fathers. Boundless space. Endless horror.
Necropodicon. Hard to pronounce? Easy to listen.